Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you have one of these neat new big screen projection TVs, there is nothing like plugging in your video game console and really immersing yourself into the game world in that theater-like setting.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me, as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy. Great to be with you. Nice to see your pretty little face. you're still over in the backwards land that's half yep. an hour behind Melbourne. But, you know, there's one other guy on this show who's living in the present with me, and he looks like he's about to deliver a present. It's Adam
Knox.
I'm
up to date, unless you're a little bit further east of where we are in Melbourne, Australia, in which case you're a bit ahead. And you knew I was going to say this, and I'm sure you were looking forward to it the whole time.
We should have warned America.
Like
it's the blokes over the ditch, right? Over the Dutch. They're the only people that are like ahead of us time-zone-wise.
Some islands as well. There's some other countries
sure.
that would be. Yep. I don't know where the most forward, futuristic part of the world is.
Usually, I think it's New Zealand that people are like, oh, this game's just released in New Zealand. And so they drop their like first impressions on Reddit and shit. That's where I have been seeing this information, on Reddit. So it's definitely true.
Yeah. It was a nice, wholesome doggo. This Karen got what she deserved by an enormous amount of people taking active revenge on her.
Edit. We're
Thanks
wholesome. For the gold.
I remember being a little kid and watching the news on New Year's Day, and they'd always love having the story of like the first place in the world to be in the new year. And
right.
And it just like there being like a camera there of them like counting down and being like young enough to be impressed by that. Like, wow, they're already in 1998. That's so cool.
I know. The fact that like we... act as though it's like a natural phenomenon, like a wave traveling around the world. But it's like, no, it's because England said, we're the main one.
It starts here.
This is zero. Everywhere else is fucked in some way, either backwards or forwards. We're the only one on actual time. My parents are English enough that they wait until Greenwich Mean Time to do New Year's sometimes.
Oh,
like they do it a second time.
And like fantastic. English enough and dorks enough. Like, my parents are from the UK as well, and they're like, "Yeah, we're going to bed."
That's also dorky. Every English person is a dork in some way.
I don't know.
That's what I'll say from the safety of Melbourne, Australia. Come get me.
Now, time's just a construct, dude. It's just a human construct.
Well... no, it isn't.
You know what
Say
else
that
is
to
human
the,
construct?
The grays in my hair. What else is a construct?
Video games.
Now, they definitely are. That, unless there's like, if the fifth dimension turned out to be video games, if we went up and it was time and then up again and it's video games, oh, brother, send me there.
It's just Second Life. We're just
it looks like the Homer Simpson fucking... episode. Yeah, with video games are made by men, made by mankind, and are maybe the greatest artistic achievement in all of human history, as evidenced by the absolute fucking bullshit we scrounge up to talk about every week. It's so weird to truly think that video games are one of the most incredible things that humankind has achieved, and to also think they're the worst thing going on right now.
Yeah, their creation is an example of the peak that man can achieve. And then that has inspired the absolute depths that man is capable of. What game would you want to live in, Adam, if they were the fifth dimension? Like, what would you be hoping for when you, when you're the one that like braves that frontier and you step through that portal? What are you hoping is on the other side?
Portal, yeah,
yeah.
It's a good question because most of them are scary.
Adam finishes off the Infinity Machine and that creates like Stargate in his office.
Oh, yes.
He's got a portal into video game land.
He can like dial it in on the side, yeah. What are you dialing
large,
in?
Large Hadron Collider, how everyone thought it was going to make the black hole.
Mm.
Mine makes a black hole, but it's the Xbox game Black that was made by the Burnout people and we just live in Gun World.
Oh, God. Okay.
I don't want that.
All right.
I also don't want to live in... People often say, like, oh, Animal Crossing, but fuck that, because that game's just about living somewhere. So to be normal, acceptable day, you'd have to be like, what the fuck does... mean?
Right. You go in there and you've...
koala?
Yeah, you go in there and you've got a mortgage immediately, which none of us have in real life, so that instantly would be worse.
And you can only pay it off by physical labor or playing the stock market. So we're out.
I mean, as is the case with the real world too.
At the pretty moment, much.
There's no way you're getting a mortgage done without one of those.
Yeah, be a tradie or play the markets.
And most of them would get too repetitive and boring as they do in real life. Like if in real life you can get sick of something in less than 10 hours or whatever even, you don't want to live in that world where it's like, well, now I'm doing fucking Tetris all day.
Tetris would be the worst one, right? You'd constantly have the Tetris effect and be doing the Tetris. Like you would never escape it. Fuck, yeah, I'm scrolling through.
Right, so double Tetris effect. You're seeing it and you're living it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's tempting to say like a beautiful open world game. Like you think about some of the best environments that you've seen, but then you know, the trade off there is like you might have a beautiful mountain that you can climb up and have this glorious vista to look out over, but you're then also constantly under attack. Anytime you go for a little 5-minute walk, you're gonna end up in a little gunfight.
Right.
Although you're most likely to be a background nothing character if you're in one of these, live in Spider-Man, I'm not Spider-Man. I'm a fucking dude. Who, like, doesn't even see Spider-Man. And all his friends are like, yeah, Spider-Man swung by the other day. And I'm like, oh, well, I've never even fucking seen Spider-Man.
And then fucking Rhino just, like, you know, steps on you and you're done.
I reckon I wouldn't even see Rhino. I would just be so, like, just live this life where, like, yeah, there is a Spider-Man out there. But, like, I've never seen Tom Holland. I'd be just as likely to see Spider-Man in that world as I would to see Tom Holland in this one.
In this world...
You're more likely to see Spider-Man in this world than in that one. Because if you see Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire, you've seen Spider-Man.
If you go to PAX, honestly, you know, which we probably will. I was going to ask, if you're in Spider-Man video game, do you have a job? Is it like the entire world is like the normal world, but it's just in that sort of fictional sort of, you know, parameters. So, like,
I think it would have to be.
Or does it function like the video game where you, the minute Spider-Man isn't around, you don't exist?
Yeah, you go back on a loop, a real boring AI loop.
Not even looping, just standing there waiting for him to get within, like, draw distance.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to live, you'll be living a life because all the people walking around in the street, you know, you swing by and they're like, oh, God, I'm having a bad day where I work every day and I have to pay
a mortgage. I was
going to
say, like you're living in New York City, I assume, where rent is astronomical. Or can you just live in a normal city? Like if New York exists in Spider-Man, do we just live in Melbourne still?
You go over the water where all the cars are just like low poly squares, and it's beautiful.
I reckon if that's what we're talking about, the nicest existence has to be like little villager in a Zelda game. You know, they're always just there's like bad stuff happening out in the dungeons and out in the forests, but you're just hanging out with your chickens. You're
actually,
like one of the little one of the little Breath of the Wild villages that you come across that are on the side of a mountain. You got a nice little outlook. You probably know the parameters of how far out you can go before the little bokoblins are going to come after you.
Good point.
If you end up in a video game world, the first thing you have to do is set up a shop, because then either you can't be killed, or even if they do kill you, you respawn. You have key items that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Someone comes in, they start swinging their sword around, and it's just passing right through you. You're not reacting. It's making no contact. You're like, go for your life, brother. Have a crack. Do your worst.
I'm the most powerful being in this universe. And yes, the curse is that I can't do anything with it, and I just simply have to trade. But secretly,
you're literally trapped in capitalism.
I wonder if anyone can tell that we couldn't find that many news stories to talk about this week. If you could live in any video game news story, which one would you live in?
The Ooh, PR media great. Release for Free Guy, which is basically what we're talking about. serious answer, I'd live in a Star Wars game because I'd be a Jedi and I'd fucking cut people in half with lightsaber.
Yeah, nice.
It is a good cheat, isn't it? So when you cool. go, what video game world would you live in? Yeah. You can just say a licensed property. There's just enough like that it all exists.
Porn game, hentai Steam porn game, hentai game from porn from Steam, hentai game.
Do you know that George Lucas refuses to call them lightsabers and he calls them laser swords?
Is that
I
true?
I did not know that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think it's called a lightsaber in, or maybe Obi-Wan calls it that, but in the original script, he called them laser swords and he refuses to call them lightsabers.
Who it's changed like on it set to lightsaber stuff. Then?
I probably like whoever wrote Empire, like
Obi-Wan says
someone?
It in the first one. He's like, "This is a lightsaber."
Maybe that's like meant to be a slang term or something. Like, yeah, I don't know. But it's
a slur.
One of those weird things I read about George Lucas, where you're like, "Oh, he would be a fucking awful guy to hang out with."
This may be true, but I also feel like maybe you've been taken for a ride by somebody here. I have a feeling I could track down. Let's call George.
This is one of
those things where it's like, if you did make it up, it's the perfect thing to, you know what I mean? It's like, it's so believable if it is in fact untrue.
It's definitely true. There's like a million Google results. There's an interview with him and Stephen Colbert where he says, "I just call them laser swords because that's what." Oh, yeah, George called them that in the first draft of the script. Alec Guinness apparently thought lightsaber sounded better, so they just went with it, which apparently is like how a lot of the stuff in the first movie was like made better, is like Harrison Ford refusing to say certain lines. And there's a YouTube clip. First result is George Lucas calls it a laser sword.
This is crazy. I'm dialing him now. I said we should call. It's ringing. Do you want to? I'll put it on speaker when he answers.
I can't really think of anything worse than having to talk to him. But sure, let's go.
Well, it's already ringing. We can't hang up. He'll know it was us.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. George Lucas speaking.
Okay.
Hey George, you're on the air with Filthy Casuals.
Big Filthy Casuals Bombad.
Yeah. So
you're
so
excited.
That's right, George. Yep. Now,
why did you call me?
Now, what voice are you doing there, George?
Misa just speaking in my speaking voice.
Right.
Okay, this is interesting. So we just wanted to know what you call... there's like a famous weapon in the series of Star Wars films that you created.
The laser pistol.
No, that's...
You're
talking pod racer.
No.
You're pod even more off base. Yeah,
we're fine with pod racer. We want to find out. Yeah, I guess what do we call it? We call it a lightsaber. Is that's what you call it? It's like the sword with a beam of light coming out of it.
Misa, know what you're talking about.
Great.
Yusa talking about the. Painful dildo. That's what I've called it in the original script.
Right. That seems weird that Harrison Ford wouldn't want to say that, because that's actually that's pretty cool.
Harrison Ford said it all the time, even when we weren't filming. He loved it, but unfortunately, Anna Guinness, he's the one who...
The accent really... This accent is kind of... It's very selective. It just seemed like you had like a longer chunk of what you wanted to say there, and it just sort of dropped off immediately.
Thing that happens with Misa is the longer I talk, the less interested I am in the thing that I'm doing here.
Sir.
That's just a thing about Misa.
Okay, right.
God, anyway. I'm starting to wish we hadn't called George Lucas.
And yeah, unfortunately, the call is never going to disconnect.
Okay. Well,
and Adam's not going to talk again. It's just George.
Wow, yeah, because I can't... It sounds so much like George Lucas. There's no way for me to just pretend that it was Adam all along.
Anyway, live long and prosper. Bye.
See you, George.
Oh, there he goes. He hung up. This is me again.
Oh wow. Oh hey.
Okay, you can't tell. I'm surprised you couldn't tell because he keeps talking like Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Did you not
notice
that? You didn't pick up on that?
I've never seen a Star Wars film.
I've never seen Phantom Menace because I'm not 10. So and I never have been. I skipped that age. I went straight from 9 to 11. Do you think if you're working on a Star Wars film, surely if you're on set, like internally at this point, they're referring to them as lightsabers. But let's say Georgie Boy comes past for a set visit. I don't imagine that's happening all that often, but
we can ask him how regularly he does that if you want to call him back.
Okay. No, it's
yeah,
fine,
yeah,
fine.
You've got his number. Can we give him a call?
We'll see. What were you going to say?
There's a memo going around like now, everyone. George is coming by for one of his very infrequent but very famous set visits. So ixnay on the lightsaber lay. You know what I mean? Do you reckon it's like you have to... You can go for it when he's not around, but then if he's dropping by, it's like, now,
he strikes
remember
me,
everyone, they're laser swords.
He strikes me as the type of guy who wouldn't pipe up.
Yeah.
I think if he was annoyed by something you were doing, you wouldn't find out until much later on a podcast where someone called him and got him to
dialed in,
it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, speaking...
Maybe relegate that production assistant to...
Who the fuck is that
services.
Meant to be?
That was Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of rules about
some
what you
video
can...
game news this week.
Speaking of what you can and cannot say on set, there was a story the other week about the Z word, zombie, being banned from the set of The Last of Us TV show. Which, if you are watching, we have 1 week to go. The finale is happening in a few days. And if you haven't been listening to our recap podcast, Clicker I Barely Know Her, then get on board. We've got one more episode of the TV series to cover, and then we're going to do an episode the week after that covering all of our mailbag and the general consensus to the finale. So, yeah, 2 more weeks to go of that show. But, thanks to everyone who's been listening and writing in and everything. But thought we'd get a little plug in here, just... get on board for the final episode if you haven't been joining us along the way.
That's right. And also something worth mentioning, because we've been getting so much lovely correspondence to that podcast, we have an email address for this podcast. It's just podcast@filthycasuals.com.au. If you have any questions or ideas, or for topics, for talking points, if you have a review of a game, you can get in touch. We're always available. We do, have all the socials, but you're allowed to email us at podcast@filthycasuals.com.au.
Tell us what you've been what you've been thinking of, what you've been playing. Drop any kind of any of your little like reviews or thoughts you have of any games that you've played lately. Let's say, for example, that you were to play a Call of Duty game on a PlayStation.
Yeah. If you've got any paranoid delusions, you can email them to us as well.
If you've seen spiders crawling out of your PlayStation, for example,
you might be living in the Spider-Man universe.
Or living in the Call of Duty game that Tommy was talking about there, that Sony is afraid that Microsoft's going to make. Real weird. We talked about their, like, we've talked a bunch of times about it, about the Activision acquisition from Microsoft and how Sony's fighting that. Mm-hmm. And a thing they just recently said about that is part of why they think it shouldn't happen is because Microsoft may deliberately make the Call of Duty games worse on PlayStation. Here's their words from some document they've submitted, I suppose, to the court. For example, this is Sony. For example, Microsoft... Sorry, this is Sony. Misa think Microsoft might release a PlayStation version of Call of Duty where bugs and errors emerge only on the game's final level or after later updates. Even if such degradations could be swiftly detected, any remedy would likely come too late, by which time the gaming community would have lost confidence in PlayStation as a go-to venue to play Call of Duty. It's one of the most scrabbling, ridiculous... Yeah. Like, say what you want about, like, huge companies acquiring huger companies and or less huge and becoming even huger and monopolies and all of that. This isn't the argument against it.
No, this has never happened before, and it will never happen. Unless the world goes crazy, more so... You know, and regulations and government bodies and, you know, consumer watchdogs all dissolve and people are actually able to have a fucking free-for-all. This is never going to happen. This kind of ridiculous, you know, corporate espionage, fucking sabotage, it's just not going to happen. It's
and that is wild.
Let's say it did. That's not how people... Like, the idea that that would mean that people go, oh, I'm never going to play a game on PlayStation again... Like, those Pokemon games that were buggy as hell, people didn't go, oh, well, I'm throwing out my Switch. They went, these cunts made a bad game. Like, it's the developers that end up copying it. It's got nothing to do with the platform.
And yeah, exactly. Like, it's not that it's never going to happen in, like, a naive, oh, people will be nicer than that way. Like, if you could show that they had developed a version of the game that had extra bugs in it that weren't on the Xbox One as a form of sabotage, that would lead to legal action. And, like, it wouldn't...
Right. Yeah.
It's just... And it's not, like you say, in Microsoft's best interests. No one's playing a bad game and going, oh, well, I'll buy a second version of this and a whole other console on which to play it. It's,
Right.
This is annoying. This is like if, you know, like you're the friend in between a couple's argument, you know, and one of them is like, oh, they're gonna, my husband, he's threatening to acquire Activision and no. But, you know, if they're having a pretty reasonable argument and then one of them all of a sudden says, and you know what? I think they're secretly an alien as well. It's like, well, I'm sorry, but you've lost all credibility here. That's a stupid thing to say to make me believe you because it's only made me kind of suspicious of your whole thing.
It feels like it's trying to appeal to, like, maybe, as a lot of lawmakers are, the sort of less tech-savvy side, because I can imagine it making intuitive sense to someone if they didn't, you know, have an enormous amount of understanding of the field, I suppose. But also, like, for example, Sony developed the Blu-ray. Can you just chuck back at them like, okay, well, maybe you made worse versions of Sony-produced movies on HD DVDs back in the day because you wanted the Blu-ray to succeed. And like that, it... I don't know.
It's silly.
It's not something that takes place for legal preventative reasons. Like, it's not. Now, I think Microsoft has responded to Sony's suggestion of, reiterating it has made a guarantee of parity between Xbox and PlayStation on access to Call of Duty, which again isn't like we'll be nice. It's like no, there's like we'll contract it.
This is the kind of agreement that they are saying to get their less cool thing to go through, which is the merger. Like they're agreeing to all this other stuff, which is pretty normal sort of industry standard stuff, to make the merger go through, which is the one thing that is questionable. So yeah, this is just, I don't know, this is crazy. This is fucking crazy.
I don't know of, and Sony releases a bunch of its games on the PC, which it doesn't make as much of a cut from. It's got incentive to drive people to PlayStations rather than to PC. And the way it does that is by waiting years until releasing them. But then, like, so can we throw the same argument at you and, like, well, you make worse PC ports than for the PlayStation to get people to... It's just a weird argument that they shouldn't have said. And
yeah.
I don't think is... I mean, maybe it's not like it's so enshrined in law that it wouldn't be possible. But even if they did do it, it would be stupid to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this assumption
make sense.
That
and the way they do it, I think you said this before we were recording, Tommy, was, like, they add extra stuff to the Xbox version, and they have like, oh, the DLC's first here and whatever.
That was me.
Was that you, Ben? Sorry. Like yes. And that's true. Like they sweeten the pot for people trying to get them to come to a certain platform or whatever. And one day I'm sure they'd love to have one of the biggest games in the world only be available on Xbox. They would have liked that this whole time, and they're not doing it so that they can do the acquisition. But I don't know, man.
It's funny that this debate is happening about, like, you know, oh, whether they would do that. Would they make it run worse on the PlayStation when just a week or two ago there was that story about, like, yeah, we'll bring it out on the Switch as well, when it's like, that's truly the one where it's like, well, how's that going to... That's going to be buggy and probably not be able to run. So, like...
Right.
But, you know, in that discussion, you would have assumed, well, yeah, it's a no-brainer that the PlayStation versions and Xbox versions will, yeah, remain at parity. I like how specific they are in the quote, too, of, like, they'd leave a bug until the very final level. Like, just that... Not just, like, make it all shitty and unplayable, just, like, they'll... Yeah, the final cutscene, they'll make people's heads blow up. It's like, if that was true, it's like, that would actually incentivize me more. I'd be like, yeah, I want to see what kind of fucked up shit they've saved until the very end of the game.
The limited edition,
exactly.
From having played enough of the Call of Duty games over the... They'll leave some fucking bugs in there. Don't worry. Everyone will have something wrong with it. Like...
I think you're right, Nox.
Right? Yeah.
You said before, Nox, that like this is the kind of legal speak that will appeal to like other lawyers and judges and stuff. And I think that's it. It's like, okay, well, here's a hypothetical thing that you just might want to include when you're considering this. I'm sure there have been examples of it in other like fields and industries, you know, like other sort of tech related stuff, or even just sort of whatever. Any other industries where you're like, oh, we're going to put less effort into this, you know, method of distribution to favor another one. And that's come up before, you know, in sort of like these corporate sort of cases. But yeah, this getting out to the like games journalism makes Sony sound like a bunch of fucking idiots.
And they put out the MLB games. Those are the only like Sony developed ones I can think of. But those MLB, the show games... Sony developed and they're put out on the Xbox. So are you doing it, Sony? And will you do it? And like, if you will, then I guess whatever fucking extra wrinkle you're asking to be added here needs to be added to you too. Like, it's just so weird. This really,
it's being like suspicious that everyone's lying. It's like, why are you bringing this up?
Right.
Is it because you do it? It's totally,
Why has this thought even occurred to you? Is this something that...
Right.
Yeah, you would do if given the chance. Like,
yeah, if it's that couple's argument, it's like, oh, I'm so mad at you because of this. And also, I bet you cheated on me on the 18th of October last year at a party hosted by your friend. Like,
fuck them all. Kill them all and let God sort them out.
The problem is, like you say, Adam, it's like they will... Of course it will have bugs, the next one, because every game does now that's big enough. So... Presumably they'll be like, yeah, they'll be in their tinfoil hats being like, yeah, see? Vindicated.
Right. Yeah. Right. Unless the bug is
popping.
Like, unless the bug is like one soldier turns into Master Chief and one turns into Crash Bandicoot and Master Chief's pissing off. Oh, but they would own Crash Bandicoot. Who's the fucking Sony guy now? I guess Astrobot.
Astrobot, yeah. Nathan Drake.
Master Chief pissing into Nathan Drake's mouth.
Yeah.
That bug would be like, yeah, dude, they're really actually getting us here like the letter section of a 90s magazine.
What they need to do is put a bug in where it, like, you know, fucks up the level, but then a character turns to the camera and is like, you know what? I love Sony PlayStation. And then they'd be like, oh, see? What are you going to do now?
There's a lot of like background radio chatter in the Call of Duty games where they're just saying military stuff. They go like, Stay Frosty, Oscar Mike, whatever. If you could chuck a little of like, Stay Frosty, Xbox is better, Oscar Mike. Like you could slip that under the radar, but it would also be fucking insane.
Yeah.
It's just such a weird thing for them.
I just had a thought. You know, we talk about the video game magazine's letter section frequently on this show, something that I think holds a very dear place in our hearts nostalgically. And just you saying that, it's like, yeah, what a shame that we don't get to see the modern artistic interpretations of, you know, more recent video game characters pissing all over each other or ripping each other's spines out or whatever sort of stuff they used to, you know, send into the pages of Hyper and Nintendo magazine system.
Yeah. Tommy, there's definitely a website I can send you to if you want to see video game characters pissing on each other.
Well, what I was going to say was we've got our live show coming up in Melbourne, April the 2nd at Comedy Republic. I would love to solicit some 90s magazine style video game artwork.
Okay.
Maybe we can do like a live letters page.
Oh, yes, I like this. I like
get
the sound
them,
of
get
this
them printed
lot.
Out, have them at the show. So, send us your stuff and we'll have a little near the end of the show. We'll do a live letters page in the style of the 90s gaming magazines.
podcast@filthycasuals.com.au would be the place, right?
That's it. Mm. Throw your minds back to the 90s when print media was still living large. Letters as well, right? Maybe a short era appropriate letter, but some great silly cartoons. Yeah.
We'll do Badass Basement like was in that N64 magazine. Fuck, you know, the Nintendo 64. Everyone loves the character of Badass from the era of the N64. Yeah, that live show's on April 2nd, which is a Sunday, 3:40 p.m. And you can watch it overseas too. We'll be live streaming it. So 3:40 p.m. Melbourne time. And
that's
I can guarantee you that a certain Star Wars director will not be making an appearance. So feel free to buy your tickets with the knowledge that you won't have to worry about
you
that.
Also do not have to watch it live if you're overseas and the time difference is a bit weird for you. We'll be leaving it up for at least 24 hours. So if you buy one of those streamer tickets, you'll have sometime within the next day or two. We can't leave it up indefinitely, but you'll be able to watch it. You'll be able to get your fill. And especially if you do send in one of those, mailbag things, you will be able to see it. So,
And come in person if you're here. Also, coming in a person will be me on the 6th of September when Starfield is released to celebrate Fallout 4 2 coming out with... So they put out a little 2-minute long video announcing Starfield will be out. Yeah, the 6th of September, which I did do the forgetting about America thing and think it was the 9th of June. When I was first watching the thing, 9/6/23. But on the 11th of June, there'll be a longer direct, they're calling it, about the game and everything. They had some footage of it rolling on the TV behind Todd Phillips. What's his name?
Howard.
Todd Howard.
Todd Phillips is the Hangover director.
Right. And Joker. Let's get him on the phone. I've got all the director's numbers.
You're flying around space trying to find your mate and it's his wedding's coming up and you've lost him.
Tiger gonna get you.
I don't know if you guys were watching that footage real close.
I'm watching it now.
So. Remember how at some point they were like, yeah, it's not aliens. There won't be a big alien thing in this. Well, the whole thing of this really seems to be aliens, Nick. Because, some aliens show up in it. There's aliens you're shooting at. And I guess they meant maybe you're not, talking to other alien races and interacting with them in, a different civilizations meeting way. But you're shooting at a bunch of aliens and there's some, brontosaurus things in the background and...
Yeah. There's it looks like a Tyranid from Warhammer, the one that's coming at the screen. Big claws, big sort of, aliens ripoff sort of looking motherfucker. But yeah, you're right. There's aliens.
The voiceover, there's totally aliens. And the voiceover of the first half is saying, a very sci-fi thing. Same as No Man's Sky, where there's an anomaly in the middle of the galaxy.
Right.
We've got to find out what this anomaly is, da da da. And that'll be aliens. But that's fine.
Absolutely. No.
It's in space.
If anything, it's odd that they ever said there wouldn't be aliens because this.
Right. Yeah.
They also. This is not also a reveal of them being actually, we've designed a bunch of alien races, and how cool is that? Like you said, it's just sort of in the background. It's just in some gameplay footage.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a space game, space RPG. Chuck a bunch of aliens in there. Why not?
Yeah.
I like it.
And that's
George Lucas speaking again, right?
Because
you love aliens, yeah.
Me's a big fan.
Hmm.
That it's you know, that's cool that the 6th of September is the date now. That is a nice... You're away, Ben, right?
6th of September. Yep. Yes. Yes, I will be. Yeah, maybe nice. I should buy a Steam Deck while I'm in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
You could probably... Right? I bet it'll be on the streaming thing of Game Pass. You'll be able to play it on your phone.
Play it on the cloud, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cloud, yeah, nice.
Yeah, I'll take my lappy with me. That's a good point.
Not a ton more to say about that, really, but on the 11th of June, they'll be showing more of that game, which looks all right.
And
bizarrely, recently, for some reason, we got on a tangent about this game, and we all put out our guesses for what date we think it was going to arrive.
Yep.
Adam guessed the 17th and then revised it to the 14th. Ben guessed the 21st. And I guess the 1st. And weirdly, we were all in September. We were all guessing within the month of September.
I don't remember why that happened.
Based on nothing, right?
It didn't seem like anything. We started throwing around, because it's like we assumed end of the year. I don't know if they'd put out like a quarter of the year estimation or anything. I think we just assumed sort of holiday. But then we drew it in a bit earlier because of, I think, maybe some other games that are coming out that it might be competing with.
Right.
We wanted to get out ahead of maybe a couple of games, but... I think we just plucked September out of our sweet little fannies.
Once again.
And all around the mark.
Our fannies were putting out really good shit. Because we landed directly on it. Yeah, Tommy won by Price is Right rules and by any rules.
Yeah.
He was the closest one, unless the rule was to be furthest away.
I was closest in spite of the fact that I am the least invested in this game of all of us.
I so feel like I remember how you said the first, and it was like this. The first. I feel like that was along the lines of how you said it. And I think I'm the medium one and Ben would be the high in terms of our anticipation of this thing.
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I've loved their previous stuff because it's been weird, because it's been sort of a twist on a genre. Like, the Fallout games are an interesting take on post-apocalyptic stuff, you know, and... The Skyrim-y stuff, I know, like, Tommy, you never got super into the Elder Scrolls games because they are a bit generic fantasy, but, like, the more you get into them, the more odd they are. Like, Oblivion, you were jumping through portals into hell and...
Morrowind especially.
Yeah.
Big mushrooms everywhere, those big bugs that walk you around. Like, there was a bunch of, like, really... kind of off the wall sort of shit, man.
That's right. That's why I like it. I like stuff that's a little bit left of centers. And this, it looks to be a straight down the line science fiction RPG, which, you know, that's cool. I'm definitely still going to be interested in it, but it hasn't like sucked me into the hype machine like it may have with other people. But I'm obviously I'm very keen still.
I guess that's the thing that they're spinning back up on the 11th of June too. Like, they would have been doing the hype machine right now if it had still been coming out. And I think May was the original month. So, like, it makes sense that they're having a kind of reboot that a little bit.
Right.
I mean, this is like, it's giving me a little bit of, because, yeah, you're right. I've never really gelled with any of their stuff. But also a big part of that is Skyrim, I just came to really late at the point where I was sort of more invested in the stuff that had come afterwards and been influenced by it. So it kind of is a bit hard to go sort of like a step backwards. The last Fallout came out when I don't think I had a console at the time that could play it. So I've always kind of like missed the boat on their stuff. But this article here, it is saying a lot of that kind of classic stuff of hype machine where it's like, they're saying, it's large, we're playing the game all the time. It'll reportedly have over 1,000 planets and 150,000 lines of dialogue. And it's like, when are these people going to learn that these things are just like, they're just stats that don't, you know what I mean? They don't, it's more often than not, you get it and it's like, yeah, cool, I don't really care about the numbers behind this. I'd rather just the game be fun to play.
150,000 lines of dialogue, especially when, you know, half of them are going to be like, whoa, look out! Oh, big alien! Uh-oh!
Yeah.
Oh, right. Shit, it's coming for us!
Yeah.
Misa directed Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Oh, yucky. That's the worst one of all. Yeah, and it's also
not by
like...
a mile these days.
How... I don't know how many lines of dialogue are in other games. What am I comparing this to?
Right.
You know, And does that make it better? Does it make GTA 5 better because there were lots of words? I don't know.
When they share those photos, you'll see like, I feel like maybe this was GTA 5 or something, but it's a few times where developers will share a photo of the script all printed out.
Right.
And it's this big fucking stack of paper walloped down on a desk that's buckling at the seams. But then like, okay, sick, but the most beautiful movies ever written are much thinner than that. Books that have transcended the time they were written, and like fucking Pride and Prejudice, you can stick up your ass. It's not that big if you're into it enough.
That was a positive thing. That wasn't you telling Jane Austen to stick it up her ass.
No. I'm saying it's such a good book. I will.
Yeah. No, totally. Like Elden Ring had barely any dialogue and it was a fantastic game. It's just like people in the games industry need to know that you can overwrite something. And you would have thought so, given that's a gaming term or a computer term. But like more lines is not equal better.
Because how many of them are you actually going to experience when you play the game, right? That's
all
meant to be put out there to be like, oh, there's so much there, you know? You could get lost in this world and go in whatever direction you want, but like you'd rather play something that's completely linear, that has 100 lines of dialogue that you're going to hear and experience all of, because they're all actually good and worth hearing, not just like, you know, this is part of a side mission that's not really worth bothering with.
Not even just as like a broad fucking complaint or whatever. Like specifically, Bethesda has the problem of in the past, the best parts of their games have been some side quests here and there. Like there's some really good stuff. And then there's enough caves with rats and whatever that like the seemingly much smaller scope of those already quite big worlds was too much to maintain an interest the whole way through.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to say this on behalf of the podcast, that if we end up loving the script of Starfield, we will stick the script up our ass.
Oh yeah.
Page at a time if I have to. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
I'm a man of my word. And my
I'm
word
going all
is,
at
for
once.
For some reason, particularly anal focused today. I've said painful dildo. I don't know what's going on. But
yeah. Well, I've got speaking of, 150,000 lines of dialogue, it sounds like some of those could definitely be trimmed down. And you know what else could use a good trimming down? My pubic hair. Boys.
Wow. TMI.
Do you have any ideas for me?
I've got actually, you've clearly never listened to this podcast because there's a sponsor we've had for a little while now who keep hanging around and we keep letting them because they make good stuff. They're called Manscaped. And what they specialize in, Tommy, just purely by coincidence, is personal grooming.
Mesa listening.
they make great products for maintaining your irritating, constantly growing, even though you don't necessarily want it everywhere, hair. They make a lawnmower, it's called the Lawnmower 4.0. That's for trimming up the main bits. They've got an ear and nose hair trimmer. That's for trimming up the side bits.
That's called the Weed Whacker, which for
That's
Tommy,
the Weed Whacker.
The man who cannot say ear and nose hair trimmer, Weed Whacker is there for you.
There you go. I can say that. Weed Whacker. Fuck.
Oh, no.
They make really decent, like, shower stuff, like a shampoo and conditioner combined thing and a body soap that I don't mind at all. Mm-hmm. And a whole bunch of other things. And it all comes in like nice pouches and it's got good like charging docks that make everything simple.
Yeah, if you get the performance package, you get a leather toiletries bag. Like all of their stuff is super high quality. As a gift, it's fantastic because it's packaged extremely nicely. There's some nice little gold foil on it. I love it. It being the company, and I regularly use all of their products. I've still got my original lawnmower 3.0, which is working an absolute treat. So I can testify to the longevity of their products. Even though they release new ones, it's not like an iPhone where there's planned obsolescence. They're genuinely high quality mechanical shit.
Very good stuff. And you can also get 20% off and free shipping with the code FILTHY if you go to manscaped.com and you pick what you want, and then you look at that full price, you just whack a fifth off on us.
Yeah.
Use the code FILTHY and you'll get free shipping too at manscaped.com. And, oh, no, you're on the internet. Uh-oh. You're over on manscaped.com using the internet. Fuck, this is dangerous. Someone's going to find out where you are. Someone's going to track you down. Shut up, cunt. Don't worry about it.
Relax.
Be quiet.
It's okay, baby. It's fine.
You know the answer. You go to nordvpn.com and yes, you're exposed for a minute while you're there, but as quick as possible, you type it, you go to nordvpn.com/filthy and you get yourself a deal on NordVPN, which is a VPN service, which if you don't know what that is, it is a thing for your computer that makes your computer be like it's somewhere else. I hope I've described it understandably enough.
And Invisible Woman. You know Invisible Woman from Fantastic Mr. Four? It's like that. You go invisible. No one can see you. Right. No one can catch you.
Yeah, it's a privacy service, and it's really useful for a ton of different things on there because you know, people are out to get you on the internet.
I'm looking at our deal page right now. Yeah. I'm thinking of picking it up myself.
I did that not that long ago.
I can tell you exactly how much it all is. So if you use the code FILTHY, you get approximately $125 off for the standard 2-year plan. So it ends up being $3.35 a month. You get a free month. And yeah, it's a VPN. It's got malware protection. It's got an ad blocking service. I guess a virus scan or maybe that's the malware thing. But it's got like basically it's an internet security service. Yeah. You used to have to pay a shit ton for that. There's a particular software company I'm thinking of where it was like the industry standard, but also very expensive. This is now the industry standard, NordVPN, and it's less than a coffee a month. Yep. Which, in my opinion, is 100% worth it.
And you get a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try getting that with a coffee.
Yeah,
you come back there in a month and you go, this is the same milk, I'm pretty sure. They'll kick you out of the place.
Yeah, brutal.
I shit my pants immediately after this. I'd like my money back. I love the image of someone who's like, they've hacked someone's system. They're watching them kind of, they're watching their screen. They're watching them prowl around the internet. And they're like, just watching some YouTube videos. They're like, we're on here. It's only a matter of time until they log on to their online banking and we get all the details. And then they just see them go and put in NordVPN.com being like, no!
Oh, no. If they use /filthy, they're going to get a deal too. Fuck. Hey, can I talk a little bit, please, about PSVR 2?
Yeah. Oh,
I realized I had some more stuff to say about that.
Yeah.
This is the VR segment because I've got some stuff to say about the Quest 2. So let's honk on in.
Yeah. I really like it. Oh. We were talking last week about how, because No Man's Sky is what reminded me because we were talking about Starfield. I've played some No Man's Sky in VR.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. That shit's fucking awesome.
Okay. Oh, baby.
Man, walking around a big alien planet and you look up and there's the sky. Mm. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
this would be the first time you played that game in a while, right?
Yes. So that's the biggest thing was like, I haven't played it since around when it came out.
Right.
And they've done so many updates and stuff. And so going back into that, it almost feels like not a new game, but a better game for sure.
Right.
It is taking you through more of its systems that it's added and getting you to build a base and to learn this thing and this thing. And there's so much more direction and purpose to that game now.
Right.
That it is more engaging, especially when you're like walking around it. The VR stuff isn't perfect. You can't get the VR mode on the PC as well. And I think on PSVR 1 it had this too. I never tried that.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of, you know, just sort of awkwardly looking at menus that are attached to your wrist and like the fact that you can move around. I mean, some of the menus like clip through the walls sometimes and bits and pieces like that, that like aren't a big deal, but are obviously a VR quirk.
Mm-hmm.
But the benefit that you get is flying this fucking spaceship around and making yourself feel sick, doing 360s, pretending your controller is a joystick.
Yes.
It's so cool.
Yeah, I played it, I think, in VR ages ago when I first got my Quest 2. And so, you know, I plugged it into the PC and had a crack and found it a little, sort of disorienting. And that could have been like there was a little bit of lag potentially between the headset and the PC, just because it's not like, what you're experiencing, Nox. It's not like one closed system. So it could have been that.
If the computer's not being able to run it at all, or if you've got it happening wirelessly or whatever, it'll fucking kill it, VR stuff.
But
that's a bit of that.
That thing of, jumping into a ship and pulling back on the fucking thruster and you've fly into the sky and then you fly into space and then you like zoom into a fucking space station and jump, you know, like that sort of seamless gameplay, which is like nice when you're just playing it on a TV, I'm sure is insane when you're playing it on like really good VR.
It's really cool. The thing with VR is always that sense of scale and getting that from this huge and like the very different environments you go to, and having a sense of place and presence in those is really effective. It's just been a weird, cool thing to, and it makes the game more engaging to me, I think, a little bit too, because a lot of that game is just about gathering resources, and it's like Minecraft, basically. You're gathering up this type of thing to make this thing, and you're building stuff, and it like, especially in the original version, when that was also combined with a little bit of directionlessness, I found it just sort of easy to get bored by. And I'm not having that anywhere near the same way with this. Like, I'm really enjoying being on this little fucking space mission.
Well, that's cool. It, right? Like, you now constantly have a quest. Pretty much. You have a main quest. Sorry, that's right. Well, you have a quest as well.
I do. It's stupid.
But like it's driving you through a quote unquote story, but it also will drive you through the processes to like get yourself in a position to be making a base and then upgrading stuff within the base, there's like you can get a freighter now and you can have those sent out on missions and stuff to get more resources. So there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, it's just game stuff, really. It's the kind of stuff that I'm sure is in similar ongoing multiplayer,
especially
survival sims.
Now, since we're 7 years after the fact, nearly, that stuff has taken off in a big way. And No Man's Sky does not stand out in that way, but having it be implemented in VR so well is, and like, it's not the perfect implementation. There are problems with that, but it's just so good anyway that like it would be way better if like the you know, grabbing the stick and lifting up the sort of canopy of your ship and using these menus and stuff, it can feel pretty clunky a lot of the time.
Right.
So but it's still so cool that
I guess you're always
really
gonna get a bit
much
of that in something that wasn't designed ground up for VR. This is
I think that's the biggest thing,
An additional mode. It's not like a purpose built VR game.
Totally. And it's, you know, for the size of the place in the conversation it had for a long time and still kind of does, it is still an indie game and it is like a relatively small team and whatever. So, yeah, it's super cool. And this VR shit is fucking fun.
So have you played anything else?
I played a little bit of a puzzle game that I forget the fucking name of right now. I'll look it up, but it's
Tetris?
Like...
Tetris?
No.
It's Pokemon like, Puzzle League?
It's literally... I mean, the useful thing is I'll be just able to look at a list of all PSVR 2 games and it'll be one of that single page of games there. But
Jigsaw Simulator? It's
literally a puzzle game. You are building a puzzle, a 3D puzzle.
Made
of like basically Google Map images of
puzzling
like,
places.
That's the one.
There you go.
You're piecing together 3D models that get blown apart into little shards, and you're spinning them around, and you've got reference photos, and they're of real places. They're of cathedrals and whatever, like sort of landmarks around the world, and they do look like slightly higher quality. You know when you zoom in on Google Earth?
Yeah.
It's like that, but better.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But, I'm looking at it right now.
It's pretty cool. It is really relaxing and just like moving stuff around with your hands is a really satisfying thing to do for the human brain.
Right.
We love it. You just got me thinking, you know what I think is due a comeback and would actually be great in VR? I think this game had a different name in nearly every country, but Pushmo? Remember Pushmo?
Yeah. I remember Push. It was Pull Blocks over here.
Pull Blocks, Pushmo, and then there was Pullmo was the sequel. Yeah. I think it had like three different titles. I don't know if you ever played this, Ben. It was a 3DS game.
No.
I think it's Nintendo. It was Nintendo published. I don't know if they developed it or who developed it, but they made two of them, and you would have like a reference picture of a little puzzle thing where bits of it are jutting out to certain extents, and you'd have to like pull some bits out all the way, and then that would make the bit
it's
on top
big
of it
wall.
Fall down.
You've got
wall.
A big wall that you're climbing up, and you've got to like, figure out how to get to the top of that wall by pulling out blocks to climb on.
That's
but
right.
But then on your way back down, like make an image because certain ones are pulled out and certain ones aren't, if that makes sense.
Make it match up to this reference. So you're controlling this little character around this space and like, going up all these different levels and grabbing these little shelves to pull them out, and obviously you can't pull them over the, you've got to have enough space underneath you to be able to pull all the way back. They were really, really cool. They made, two of them on the 3DS, and then they've just kind of abandoned him. And it's, I mean, a part of it was it used the novelty of the 3D effect of the screen, but it would still work without it, and it would be a great format for VR, moving around in the real space and having the tactile, pull these bits in and out.
This one puzzling places. It's not that. To be clear, no. It is literally a jigsaw. Go have a look at some footage just to get
a three dimensional jigsaw.
Right. Yeah.
Like building a cardboard model, basically, and they just satisfyingly snap in together. And I want to keep doing more stuff. I'm gearing up to fully play through Resident Evil 8. I'm getting myself.
Getting
myself wound up to do that because I'm really keen to go back through that again. But there's also Cities VR, Cities Skylines, but in VR, which they announced the Cities Skylines 2 this week.
How does Cities VR work? Are you just looking over the city?
And it looks worse, and you're flying around, and it looks like real plain.
I struggled to think of how that would add to this game that is about like being able to really rapidly zoom in and out, select things, and also have like details, sliders, stats, and stuff like within a mouse click. I can't personally see how the VR one is of appeal. But hey, that's me. I'm a little bit wacky.
Yeah, here's how: fly around a city that you're building like you are God himself.
Yeah, it doesn't appeal to me. I'm happy to be I guess I'm still up in the air on a PC.
I'm become death. There's a ton more stuff on there, and I'm going to keep going down that rabbit hole.
A game that you may play in the future is a game that I played on the Quest. It came out, I think, October last year. So hey, not that old. We're still hip. We still play new games. Called Runner. I heard about this very recently, and so I decided to give it a crack. It is a motorbike combat game. It is in the style of a sort of anime cyberpunk world. Visually, it's very like atmospherically, story-wise, and there are sort of like little video screen portraits that pop up and talk to you that are anime style, but the actual like graphics are like super blocky, very basic, very like, mid 90s, early 90s PC sort of looking stuff. But the gameplay is fucking really, really good. And it's basically, and a sort of endless runner style. You're on a motorbike, you have two guns. You can also shoot like pistols that you can like take out, but you can also like shoot the motorbike's cannon. You have like a laser sword that you can pull out
ring, ring.
Swipe it.
Ring, ring.
Oh, no.
Ring, ring.
Oh, no. Ring, ring. I've said his activation word.
Ring, ring.
Yeah, you can... We're not picking up. which is very Final Fantasy VII motorbike gamey, where you can, like, swipe at people with your sword, which is very cool. And, yeah, as you kind of progress through, like, normal enemies will come, and then eventually there'll be, like, a big boss enemy. It's very much what if Final Fantasy VII original motorbike game was VR. Like, that's, like, they've totally taken that inspiration. But it's really fucking cool. Like, it works great, even just on a Quest 2. Like, it's not particularly demanding of hardware, but it's so fluid. Like, everything works fantastically. Like, there's no hitching or frame rating or anything, which is obviously important for VR. I just had a great time with it. It's probably the first game in a good year and a half plus that hasn't just been, like, a rhythm game that I've really enjoyed on VR, where it's about the combat. It feels like you're in Escape from New York or some, like, 90s cyberpunk sort of sci-fi thing. It's kind of a no-brainer for anyone who has VR, I reckon, because it, for me, who is keen to find good games on it but has kind of been let down by the selection, it's a great one. I was really, really happy to be pleasantly surprised by it. So I do give it a hearty thumbs up.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to get this when I get home. This sounds fun. How'd you go with the sense of speed when you're in the headset? Because I feel like that would be the thing with this that would be make or break for a lot of people. Like, I'm pretty good with that effect. I can handle the, like, sitting down and, like, in Resident Evil, doing the actual movement and not the snap
right.
2. The snap 2 I kind of find just annoying, so I just kind of made myself get okay with that. But also, you're not ever moving at a particularly high speed in any of the stuff I've done that in, and this looks
right.
Yeah,
I recommend sitting down to play it.
Yeah,
that was my first mistake, was standing up and immediately being like, whoa, nearly falling over. But sit down, and it's just like being on a motorbike or being in a car. You know, like it.
Right.
That mental thing of you feeling that disconnect between you moving and the world around you moving and everything in VR, it just doesn't apply because it's just like being in a car. I'm sure. Yeah. The Gran Turismo VR would be similar, where it's like, as long as the technology is running it at an appropriate like refresh rate and everything, I had no problems at all playing it just seated. When I have had problems, like specifically with Resident Evil 4, with the just moving around, like, you know, with a joystick.
I am more of a
zap to it person.
Yeah, those, like, the higher the speed, weirdly, the more simple it, like, lower speed kind of just walking around is just strange enough that I think my brain is more likely to go, what the fuck is this?
Right.
Like, if everything's zipping around, you're like, yeah, cool, something weird's happening. We're all
totally good. Totally. And yeah, this totally works for me. I didn't feel too fucked up by it. And it's just such a cool, like, you know, sensation to be like, you're on your motorbike, you steer with a joystick, like, all the controls are really well thought out, but, you know, you've got one hand free to, like, pick up a pistol out of the sort of, like, holster in front of you, and it's just all really, really well designed.
Cool.
So yeah, don't expect, you know, PS5 graphics. But apart from that, it's a sick VR game.
Well, we're running out of time here, but I got a game I want to talk about for a long time, so I'm gonna. So, sucked in.
Okay, all right.
I've been playing Wolong Fallen Dynasty by Team Ninja, who are the Neo people and the Ninja Gaiden people back in the day. It's the new action, sort of Soulsy, but not really, but kind of, but like action game from them. It's on Game Pass right now. We've been talking about it a bunch. Neither of you guys have gone in on this, hey?
No, I've played it. I've started playing
it. Oh, you played it?
I've played it, and I've played the demo.
Right.
So I've had a bit of experience in the system, but yeah, still pretty early on. I only started last night, but I've gone in.
Yeah, nice. It's okay.
That's how I feel about it too. And I've played like an hour and a half.
Yeah, so I've played, I have no idea how much, but like I've been playing it since it came out like last Friday or something, and I'm probably,
yeah,
maybe I'm halfway through or something. I think it's like a 30-40 hour sort of thing. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm having a good time. Mm. I don't think it's that good of a game in a lot of ways, though. Like, so if you don't know anything about it, it's sort of along the lines of an Elden Ringy type of thing, but it's just, it's a lot more prescriptive about what it wants you to do, sort of like a Sekiro, where a lot of what you're doing here is fighting a big enemy, and they'll chuck an attack at you, and you're going to want to hit the button to parry it right as they get you. That's a lot of what you're doing.
That's it's funny that the lineage of this series has kind of gone back and forth a little bit. I feel like there were elements from Neo and Neo 2 that FromSoft incorporated into their games, but like, you know, kind of the setting and all that stuff. Sekiro is obviously the big one that crosses over. But yeah, they've basically gone, oh, Sekiro, okay, you took, you know, inspiration from our sort of visuals and setting. We're going to take the key combat element from your game and make it just as important in our game.
It's the front and center thing because there's 100,000 different fucking systems going on here that are all like overlapping with each other. But for the most part, kind of boil down to one thing, which is the more you can parry an attack without getting hit, the better you'll be doing.
Yeah.
The parry window thing is I think a little more forgiving than I remember Sekiro being, so I'm finding it a little simpler to whack into.
Yeah.
But it certainly is focusing on that, and it is one of the most frustrating things in the world when you feel like you should have gotten it but didn't, when you know, you're pressing the button right as something hit, and it's like, nah, fuck you, man. You fucked it completely. You're a piece of shit.
Dream on.
And I'm going to tell everyone that you're a piece of shit, too. That's what the game does. It emails everyone you know saying, he fucked up.
I mean, another thing they took from the Souls games is that sort of punishing element. It really makes you feel bad.
The game is difficult, but in a different way. It's weird. It's difficult in a way like Ninja Gaiden was back in the day, because like that was a different type of thing to the more like creative, expressive, exploratory way that the FromSoft games are difficult, where like it wants you to fuck around with things. It's difficult because like, no, there's a way past this, figure it out.
Right.
But this game is a lot more in the way that Ninja Gaiden was too, where like there is a way to do this and I'll tell you what it is, and unless you do that, I am not letting you leave.
Yeah, and your reaction time better be fast enough.
Which it is for the most part for this. Like, I'm not finding it difficult in the set. The first boss is probably the most difficult of the game, and it's gotten more and more of a breeze going through. Not a breeze, but like it's doable, and I am enjoying doing it too. That's the weird thing where like, so you've got like all these systems of like a summoning meter where you can summon this thing, and then like you've got either positive or negative amounts of this 1 meter that is basically your ability use thing. So like the more you block or hit, the more that you will build points in this meter, and then you can do...
Is that morale or is that something else?
I think it's the other one, and I can't remember what it's called, because there's fortitude and morale. Maybe it is morale. That's why I'm avoiding saying their names, because there's so fucking many of them. And the game just chucks them all at you with like maybe a window that'll be like, here's what this is, but oftentimes not. Like at one point you rest at like these sort of flags in the ground, similar to a bonfire in a Souls game or whatever. Mm-hmm. And one time you'll rest at them, it'll just be like, what's wizard spells? And all of a sudden there's wizard spells, and you're kind of gaining more of them without really knowing quite what number is being used to like... It's a lot of just letting you in and letting you figure it out. And that's satisfying in one way, but also like kind of annoying in another way. But none of it is so complicated. It's just that there's a lot of it. There's just tons of stuff that it's throwing at you. But once you kind of figure everything out, it's like, oh, that's barely anything. Because then there's like a rock, paper, scissors thing between the five different sort of phases, it calls them, of magic, which are like earth, something, something, something. And each one cancels another one out. And if you use... some magic that is the opposite of the one that is being thrown at you, it can nullify it. There are like mini bosses in the world. It's very level based. You're going from one distinct area to the next rather than an open world. Yeah. Or
and like, each area is pretty linear. Like there's maybe a path you can take that will get you an item if you bother to go down it, and there's the occasional oh, now you're here, you can open this door and you can circle back sort of thing, which is that's very Neo as well.
Yeah, they open up slightly more or less as time goes on, depending on the level, but yes. And then you can go back to older levels with sort of new, it calls them battlegrounds, with new missions in the same older place. And you kind of have to do that as you go through, because it's like the way that the leveling is working, it sort of expects you to be doing this repetitive-y kind of side stuff. That's the other thing, is that there's a lot of different enemy types, it seemingly initially, but then after you get past the third or fourth level, you're like, oh, they've used them all and they're repeating now.
Right.
It seems to be. But the bosses keep being fresh and keep being interesting, and they're sort of the main focus of it too, in a similar way to how those Souls games are. And yeah, I'm enjoying, it's got a paper thin story that is still also confusing somehow.
Right. Yeah, agreed.
So
what's the elixir? Who needs it?
It doesn't really tell you anything, and then you show up to all these places, everyone's like, oh, it's you, but like, I thought at the start of this I was fucking nobody. How has word traveled so quickly? And like, you're just meeting these different generals the whole way through. Every time you go to some new place, it's like, hey, I'm the new one, what's up? So, and then, yeah, just this kind of unclear, and it's a cool setting. Like, I'm enjoying the sort of like Dynasty Warriors style, you know, like ancient Chinese war stuff with like these sort of demon elements thrown in that, yeah, are nice. It doesn't look great though at all. It's a pretty...
No. I noticed like there's a bit in the very first cutscene where you're thrown into a wooden, you know, table or something, and the table's made of like 7 pixels and they just like fall onto the ground. Like, it's
kind
of wild.
The whole thing is like weirdly plain and flat for a game that I believe is only on, oh no, it's on the PS4 and stuff too. Well, okay. It certainly looks very last gen and not even last particularly gen, impressive for that.
Yeah,
But like, if you're into this type of sort of fast action game, I think this is pretty decent. Like, I am enjoying it, and it doesn't feel like broken really to me. It just is that it's like it's just pretty run of the mill at this point. It's like a bit straightforward, even though there's so much shit crammed in there in one way. It's also mostly pretty surface level and pretty simple, and what it boils down to is a rhythm game like Sekiro, where you are trying to block at the right time and then you hit an attack until you block the next time.
Right, and they've chucked a bunch of other like window dressing around it, which, yeah, it seems kind of complex. That stuff seems complex for the sake of it.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, okay, so I just tried to figure out what morale was, and I think maybe it's not the thing that I thought it was. But then you also have genuine chi.
Stamina. It's stamina. So morale is what the enemies have, and you can reduce their morale by killing certain enemies. You've got stamina, which either go... It's like... And again, it's more complicated to explain than the way it actually affects you in the game. But you either have more or less of it. There's like... you are building it by successfully attacking or defending enemies.
Yes. And raising flags.
And raising flags, and you are losing it either by getting hit or by using skills that will use a certain amount of it. And if you lose all of it, you get staggered for a bit and they've got a window to attack you. But it just basically means like it's similar, I guess, to stamina in Dark Souls or whatever, but it's just done in this really overly complex seeming way that works fine in practice. It just is not smooth to explain.
Because you can, fortitude is another thing where you can raise your fortitude and then your morale can't drop below what your fortitude rank is. So again, it's like, oh yeah, well that's cool. If you like get to a certain point, your fortitude goes up, you can't drop your morale below it. But it's also this seemingly unnecessary complication.
And your morale and is a different thing that will affect how much damage you're doing, I think, or how much stamina you're gaining from each attack. Maybe it is, because then your stamina is the thing you're actually... And there's like 20 different systems blonked on top of each other, because the thing you're leveling up are these different elements that allow you to get better spells in that type of element, and like will each increase sort of a stat as well. And you're getting a million different fucking weapons the whole way through that all have slightly different skills on each of them, but you end up with this inventory stacked full of the same type of sword, but one of them has plus 5% of this and one of them has this. Like,
that's very Neo as well. And it's also like very Diablo, you know, where it's like, I don't think the great thing about Sekiro is you have no gear except for your prosthetic arm and you have the same weapon the whole time. Whereas this is literally like, there's a million different kinds of knee pads, or like, you know, shin guards and pants and jumpers and gloves. And it's all very like, if you're for some reason like only playing this game at all and you love stats, then that's all there for you. But if you have played a lot of more modern games that have streamlined this, it feels overwhelming and annoying.
Well, and the problem with it is that it doesn't translate into anything particularly noticeable. Like, if you were able to massively change what you were doing with these different stats, then maybe it would be like, oh, it's complicated, but it's because it's really customizable or whatever. But it doesn't massively affect how any part of what you're doing feels.
Right.
So that's what makes it seem a little overly complex, is that it's not affecting enough.
As long as you have the most powerful sword that you can get at that time in the game, then it's more about reflexes and just like knowing the rhythm of the combat.
Yeah, and you'll want to end up using all of those different sort of abilities you get to do the most damage possible. But like it all ends up being a lot more simpler in practice than this massive swamp of different bars going up and down makes it seem. But that in practice action is pretty fun.
Right.
It's enjoyable enough. It is a good action game that has nice design and everything too, but just doesn't look particularly great. Runs fine on the Xbox. My controller keeps disconnecting for some reason. I don't know what that's about, and I've tried to figure it out, but can't figure it out, and it keeps making me so mad because every time it disconnects, the Xbox says, you need a controller to play this game. And I fucking know. I had one a second ago, and you turned it off. So... but it's okay. And
this could be the sabotaging of the Xbox version. Maybe this is a little Team Ninja being paid off by Sony.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's okay. And if you've got Game Pass, it's worth giving a try if you like this type of thing. If you like sort of these difficult action games, it is a decent one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me want to play Sekiro again. With the combat and the sort of lack of exploration in the levels made me think about Elden Ring again. Like, it just really has competition with some of the best games that have ever been made.
Right.
It I think for some people, if you love Team Ninja games, then this is like, oh yeah, this is the best one that they've made. It's a genuine like iterative improvement over Neo 2. It's not wildly different. But if you're someone who loves From Software games, it may be more frustrating than it is enjoying. Because I initially went into the Neo games after getting my head around the Souls games and enjoyed them to a point, but didn't have the same level of satisfaction as playing a Sekiro or an Elden Ring or a Dark Souls 3.
They are strangely different, and it's hard to sort of explain what it is about it, but this really does feel like an original Xbox game. It feels like that type of action game from around then, like Ninja Gaiden. This is definitely from that bloodline rather than from the Bloodborne bloodline. But like,
totally.
They just present quite similarly, and they have similar themes and basic concepts in them, but they do for whatever reason feel very different. And I just think that this is a lot more for me kind of disposable.
I was gonna say, like, I think they literally feel lightweight. Like, you could watch two playthroughs of a From Software game and a Team Ninja game and be like, oh yeah, I can see the similarities. The big bosses, the linear level design that's kind of interesting, you know, you have souls that you need to upgrade stuff. Right. Like, but it definitely, they feel a bit more... A bit more lightweight, the Team Ninja games, in terms of just player weight. Like, there's something about it.
Yeah, but it's a good action game that I'm enjoying, despite saying all of that. Like, it is, the core there is really satisfying, and the bosses especially, I'm having a good time with. So, again, as is always the case with a Game Pass game, if you've got Game Pass, fucking why not?
Yeah.
Give it a little quiggle.
If not, it's an okay action game that I would, yeah, maybe have a go at the demo. There is a demo for it, and see if this clicks with you. Because it's not going to necessarily translate. Sorry, if you're into a lot of games that look like this.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of games with punishing combat, I've been doing a bit of that this week. I finished Kirby. Oh,
yeah. Me too. Finished first game Kirby's of the year. I finished
Return to Dreamland. What a fun ass time the whole way through. Looks great, runs great, feels so fun to play. And then I've been doing a bit of that epilogue thing that they added, which is the new mode that they put in for this remake. You play as the bad guy after he's been beaten at the end by Kirby. He's kind of washed up on this little planet. He's lost all his powers. And you play as him going through these levels, doing a bit of skill tree kind of stuff. It's cool. Mm. It's like a lot of the same enemies, similar-ish sort of format of levels, but just completely different sort of packaging in terms of what you're doing. You're getting your little, you're getting your little coins, and you're using them to upgrade this guy's little abilities, which get you into new levels and stuff. It's cool. It's a neat little addition. It's a really cool little just different game chucked in at the end. Not just they could have easily just thrown a few new levels in, but I like that they went for it and kind of gave you a whole different little format. It's a cool idea too, like the game finishing and then you have this little thing where you're playing as the baddie. I like it.
Yeah. And as we said last week, like, they already did chuck in a bunch of extra levels and stuff that were, you know, like challenge levels and stuff like that, little puzzly levels. And the amount of stuff that you can, like, clock off in terms of going through the normal levels again is pretty significant. So it's a really good package. It's definitely my favorite Kirby game I've ever played. If you're a Kirby skeptic, but you do like a 2D platformer, this might be the one to give a crack. I really, really enjoyed it.
There's a lot to do in there. There's like the little mini games mode is cool. They're all pretty fun, and you have these like missions to do where you get little rewards for. So if you're a completionist, it is one of those games that, if you are just blowing through the main campaign, it's pretty easy. It's not going to take you very long, but it's one of those games that it's for the completionists. The 100% trophies are gonna really have a field day with getting the gold medals on all the little challenge modes, and then this little epilogue thing seems pretty hefty. So I've been enjoying that, and started the Minish Cap last night. Zelda Game Boy Advance game, which I never played back in the day, and it's cool so far. Have you played this one, Adam?
Back at the time, I don't remember it super well.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool seeing, because Capcom developed it, so it's cool seeing a different, you know, it's got all the Zelda stuff that you'd expect, but it just kind of looks and feels slightly different to how Nintendo would do things, which is kind of cool.
The Oracle ones on the Game Boy Color as well, I think, right? Like Oracle of Ages and Seasons, and then, it. I remember it looking great, like real kind of, getting almost that Wind Waker cartoony look on a Game Boy Advance-ish. That's cool. That's on the Switch online thing, right?
It's on the Game Boy Advance online thing. You're getting a little cap. He's shrinking you down, so you're going into dungeons and doing little challenges where you're going real small. And it's a fun, classic Zelda with all the dungeons and all that kind of stuff. I missed it at the time, so I've been enjoying doing that. But
did you did you miss at the time Metroid Fusion? Because that has just dropped on the Nintendo Online service.
I did, and I'm excited to play that.
That one's great too.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Well, that is going to... That sounds all to right. me like a bloody episode of a podcast, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I think you've got it exactly right.
A hefty one at that.
Yeah, bumper.
A real chunky.
A real chungus. We will be back next week with more Filthy Casuals. Until then, filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all the stuff that we have going on. We've got the bonus episodes on Patreon. Please sign up and yes. support the show if you enjoy getting it for free every week. We've got Clicker, I Barely Know Her, our Last of Us recap television show podcast. Get on board that if you haven't already. And we've got the YouTube channel where we've got hundreds and hundreds of videos. We're getting very near the end of our L.A. Noir playthrough.
Yeah.
An ep or two to go of that, depending on where you're getting them. And yeah, the live show, April 2 at Comedy Republic, 3:40 p.m. Yeah, that's all that we have going on for now. Thank you for listening.
The
band camps.
Oh, yeah.
The premiums, yeah. We will see you next time. But until then, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Sitting all alone here, Skywalker Ranch, they didn't even fucking call me back. How wooed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.